Drop punt to Geddy Rowan at half forward. Off hands to Ablett. The master won't break the tackle, but he snuck out a hand past the Dangerfield. That was clever. Big Tommy, it's not too bad. Off the boot, and the big fella's done the job. Geddy Rowan got back up, grabbed the footy, long across the body from 45. Bounces hard.
Running comes from Minigola. The ball runs away from him. He picks it up just inside the boundary. Squares it to the front of the goal square. Dangerfield can't mark it. Might have run high. Gary Ablett's done it. Gary Ablett's made something out of nothing.
There's the siren. The Cats are into the grand final. They'll take on the Tigers next week.
What a story, and what a player this man is. Mark Blitzarves, 178 games with the Cats since 2013, taken as pick 54 in the rookie draft. He's won the best and fairest, the Kaji Greaves medal twice in 2015 and 2018. He's played every position on the ground, from ruck to fullback to tagging midfielders, and he joins us this morning. Hey, Blitz, congratulations, into a grand final, and what a great year.
Thanks very much for having me, guys. It's been a bit of an interesting year with everything that's happened, but as a club, I feel like we've worked pretty hard and to make the grand final. It's very exciting.
Well, Mark, resilience is everything in 2020, and you and Richmond have been able to be the most resilient sides. Any dramas that have happened, and there have been dramas along the journey for every club, you've been able to get through. But I look at you as almost the poster boy. You've played every game that has been available, going right back to the bushfire game, which seems like in a different millennia these days, and played every game of the season, as Dar said, in just about every position. And you keep bouncing up, mate. Congratulations on your athleticism, but also the tremendous work ethic that you've got to get yourself in position to be able to execute this season the way you have.
Oh, thanks, Ed. Appreciate it, mate. I think a little bit comes down to the prep and just knowing we had that block of four or five games with three or four days break in between. A lot of our guys in the team really, I suppose, prepped themselves well for that and got up for it. And, we had a good run of game wins there, which set us up for the season.
And you're playing an interesting role at the moment, Blitz, where you and Reece Stanley combining the ruck work and, you know, with your athletic ability and your running capacity to be able to cover so much ground, you know, across that defensive half. And this week in the grand final will be Nan Curvis and Richmond using Dave Asprey a little bit in the ruck. Is that where you see your role grand final, or are you back into defence or play a separate? Well, Roddy, what do you think you'll get grand final day?
I think it'll be very similar to what I have been playing. I think if you go back to Richmond's first grand final win, where Sean Grigg, one of our coaches now, he was the second ruck. So I think that sort of ruck, the second ruck position, has changed a bit over time, and it's something that Reece and I have tried to use as our strengths. I feel like we can move pretty well around the ground, and it's been working well. So I think we'll go through some really good prep this week and maybe make a few tweaks, but I think it'll be very, very similar to last week.
That's one of the things I've noticed with the Cats the last couple of weeks is when you've got athletic ruckmen like Stanley and Mark Blitzarves, you can have the charge of the light brigade out of the centre when you get the ball. And you guys have done it beautifully, Mark. Certainly, Reece Stanley has been able to get down and be another focal point when you've got Jack Hawkins coming out of the square. It's worked really well for you. And Gary Rowan suddenly has bobbed up the last couple of weeks to be the player that everyone always hoped he could be.
Yeah, the names you mentioned there, they've really been playing some consistent footy, which has been great. So we just tell Reece he's 6'7", 104 kilos, and athletic as anything. Try and just break through as much as you can. And with Gaz too, he's looking really lively, and he's got a real spring in his step. So to kick the goals is great, but his tackle pressure and efforts inside forward 50 for us has been immense this final series.
And Blitz, we love your family story and your history so much. You know, both your parents represented Australia at basketballer, and you're an elite middle distance runner and steeplechaser who was attempting to qualify for the 2012 Summer Olympic Games. And fortunately for AFL football, we've enjoyed the fact you made the move. Can you take us back to 2012? You're on your way to hopefully being an Olympian. What happened and why the switch?
Oh, it wasn't good enough. That's what happened, in short story. I got an opportunity at the end of 2011 by Geelong to sign with them and come across as a Category B rookie. They gave me sort of that 2012 year to sort of try and make an Olympic Games that wasn't meant to be. And then midway through 2012, I joined the Cats. And, just when I first got to the club, spoke to Skip and Sal was saying, just work hard and Anything can happen. And I gave it my all that preseason and was lucky enough to debut the very next year, round one. So I've had some really good support around me, and the coaches from early days to right now have been exceptional.
Mark, in a lot of ways, you're the poster boy for an idea that I've been pushing for the best part of 15 years with athletics and couldn't quite get it across the line. And that is, I just think far too often what we don't do is actually pick athletic kids to play the sport that they're most suited to. So, for example, you're a great athlete, but you are just a touch off being at the elite level to go to the Olympic Games. But when you come into football, you're a super elite athlete. So, Darcy, if you're a kid and you can run the 100 in, 11 seconds, there's another kid who can run it in 10.8 or something, well, you put him in, you can head towards the Olympic Games, you head towards the AFL. Or if you run an 800 metres in, 150, great, you can start pushing up and maybe move into the next ranks in athletics. But if you're running it in 1:59 or 2 minutes, which is flying, makes you've got a great athlete for football. Well, I don't think we do enough of that. I reckon we should be combining a lot of the athletes and helping athletics get some good kids coming through as well at the same time. What's your thoughts on that as far as just giving kids the opportunity to find the sport they need to find?
Yeah, I think it can work brilliantly, Ed. You see it in NFL a lot. There's a lot of those running backs. They're lightning quick. They can run 10.1, 10.2 for the 100. They've been brought up in a track and field background, but they're just not quick enough because there's guys running high nines for the 100, so they move across to the NFL. So I think there's much scope for that. It's just, I suppose, finding that talent and seeing what they're best suited to.
I reckon we've just got to get I think it would benefit athletics as much as it would the football to be able to get these elite kids, get them into training programs. It just seems to be too fragmented for mine in Australia, but that's for another day. But Mark, your athleticism has been fantastic. Do you, when you go out to play footy now and over the years, once you started to realise you could actually play and you just weren't an athlete in a Geelong jumper and two Kaji Greve medals against alongside some of the greatest players in the history of the game proves that you're an elite footballer. You must feel great when you stand there at full height and you look around and you go, right, I can jump higher than him, I can run faster than him, and I've got more skill than him. Right, let's go.
I don't look at it that way. Sometimes there's some very good players out there. No, I'm fortunate. I think from that background as well, it's been able to allow me to stay injury-free and just play each week. And then from there, I've been able to learn the game more. And definitely the first couple of years, I suppose I just got by on maybe a bit more athleticism, but I feel, especially in the last couple of seasons, I've worked pretty hard on a bit more of my football sense, and I've tried to play smarter, not harder, if that makes sense.
It does. So speaking to Mark Blitzovs, and a lot of players have turned up as extraordinary athletes and win the time trial, but haven't dedicated themselves as you have, Mark, to your craft. And you can just see, if your ability to go and play fullback, and then into the ruck or a tagging midfield. I just blown away by what you've done to convert your athleticism into great AFL. Can I switch now to the fairy tale story for me? The grand final is Gary Ablett and his history. He gets a chance to finish his career with another premiership medal. How much of an inspiration is that, Blitz? I know it's clearly the focus is about team, but somewhere in the back of your mind, you can see us footy lovers are seeing the beautiful ending there if it goes your way.
Oh, it's a great story. It's fantastic. It's one that we're going to work really hard to help Gary achieve this week, and we need to be locked in and play at our best against Richmond. But, just looking back at Gaz's career, it's been awesome. I wasn't there initially for his first stint at Geelong. Played against him when he was at the Gold Coast, and then to come back and to be able to play with him and train with him and learn from him and see the way he goes about it, and he's one of the biggest names in the game. He's still down to earth, and he's just a regular bloke. It's a real credit to him. And not sure how it's going to finish this week. Obviously, we'd love to win it, but regardless, he's had an amazing career.
It's an amazing year as well, going home, of course, with the illness of his little boy Levi, and then coming back with his wife Jordan and Levi into the hub, training with Titch Edwards, who will be playing against on Saturday night, and getting through the hub and then just in fantastic condition on the weekend. And now, Mark, just to finish up on, mate, what was the discussion like around the barbecue last night at Geelong? when Jeremy Cameron suddenly is putting his hand up and saying, yeah, I might join this guy, this mob as well. Did the guys get on the Twitter, or did you get the texts going? What was the feeling amongst the Catters last night?
No, I haven't spoken to too many, actually, Ed. I wasn't at that barbecue. I went down to the beach for a little walk and swim. But, I think very much that the focus is on this week. And, it's great that he's looking to come to Geelong. But I think we'll let Wellesley try and spin his magic down in Victoria at the moment. And, all eyes against Richmond.
Well, Mark, that's what you should be doing, mate. It's grand final week. Enjoy it, and congratulations. You personally deserve to be there. The Geelong Football Club deserves to be there, mate, and it's all set for what's going to be a classic game on Saturday night. We wish you all the very best.
Cheers, guys. Looking forward to it.
And then we're going to be rocking footy with the grand final with Chris Judd, who knows what it's all about on grand final day as a premiership player of the West Coast Eagles. Welcome, Juddy. What do you think about this year's grand final?
No, I can't wait. I think the whole final series has just been brilliant. Probably the only game that was a bit of a blowout was Brizzy versus Geelong. But, looking at the two teams that are in there, they're both mature. I think they're a great contest. I actually have a different view around the rain. I actually quite like watching wet weather footy and seeing it turn into a really ugly slog. So I won't be fussed if it's wet or dry. But, just can't wait for the game Saturday night.
And, Juddy, tell me, Geelong the last 2 weeks, they overpowered Collingwood, who had run out of juice, but they came up and then they monstered Brisbane in the last half of that game, and it's probably halfway through the third quarter. You could just see the momentum building, and I was standing on the boundary line at about the forward 50, and, Tom Hawkins came at one stage, Darcy, there was a hit-up lead that he put, and he slapped his hands on that ball, and he nearly broke it. You could actually hear it in the crowd. He was so confident just going snap with his hands on the ball. There's a real confidence, and I get the feeling there's a belief in Geelong all year that they are a more mature team, that they've got all these great champions, and this is their moment. So, having said that, I still think Richmond might get up and win it, but, geez, they're looking good, though, Geelong. They have really rolled on in the back half of the year.
They remind me a little bit of the old Brisbane team, Ed, just the physical size. Like there's been such a big trend across the competition for blokes to trim down and build their running capacity. But the Geelong team, they're all mature by age, but they're just big, strong men, aren't they? I mean, Tom Hawkins, you just don't see many players built like that playing footy anymore, and it feels like they've gained a real competitive advantage from that.
Yeah, and they've got that big back line too. Harry Taylor just gets himself to the right spots. Probably his last game, Harry. So he'll leave nothing behind. I love Stewart. I mean, he's a hard, old-fashioned half-back flanker, isn't he? He'll hit you, but he gets the ball and he kicks it and clears it and runs with it. He's just got a real good
running
temperament.
Defender at the same time. Yeah. That's the beauty of Tom Stewart, isn't it? He's got all of that, but also sets him up from half-back. It's interesting, isn't it? You've got the Tigers sitting over the other side of the last 4 years have done things that you couldn't imagine a side, and they just score and they find a way. But a lot of the interest, Juddy, seems in the bit of the fairy tale, isn't it? With Gary Ablett's last game, what a way to finish that would be. Paddy Dangerfield, he looks like a man possessed to me, Juddy, who's desperate not to finish his career without a premiership win. So he's going to be kamikaze on grand final day, the way he attacks the ball.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's some of the subplots that are going to be exciting to watch. We know it's Gaz's last year, maybe Harry Taylor's last year. I mean, even Joel Selwood's still playing good footy, but he's closer to the end of his career. So those guys would be in a hurry. And then Paddy Dangerfield, it feels like he's still really in his prime footy years and yet to have a grand final opportunity. So it's sort of lucky for us, the football audience, to see him in a grand final when he is still in his prime. So you compare that with Richmond, who are, have some stars in their own, but just what they've been able to do across their whole club and an evenness of performance is pretty incredible as well.
But Daisy, always great to catch up with you on grand final week as a grand final legend of the Collingwood Football Club and a brilliant career at Carlton as well.
Who wins, mate?
I'm going to tip the Cats in a close one. I've just been sort of casting my eyes over the numbers today. I'm just going back to last time they met and just the discrepancies across the board. They had plus 30-odd possessions, plus 16 clearances, plus 8 centre clearances, plus 13 contested possessions, plus 24 uncontested possessions. There's not many games you do that and you don't go on to win by about 10 goals, and somehow they managed to gas it and lose by 26 points. So I think they probably learn a lot more out of that round 17 clash than the Tiggies do. I think the weather will play a big part. I think it'll be a good game, but I think the fairy tale – As you say, I'm a bit of a softie now in my old age, Prez. I'm going for the fairy tale. Gaz, danger. I'm going to cheer that home.
Ah, the great Anthony William Brownless joins us. How are you, Big Bill? What a big week for you, mate. You'd be pumped up, wouldn't you?
Oh, huge, yes. I'm a bit Ian Nankervis, to be honest. A bit nervous, but we had the Geelong Cup yesterday, so that took our minds off it. The magnificent Ugg Boot Cup, which was great, and then a couple of more sleeps, and then look out.
I reckon Ian Nankervis is a bit Ian Nankervis at the moment as well, Billy, because he'll present the cup to the Geelong boys if they win.
I reckon Ian Nankervis will be a bit Bruce Nankervis, to be honest. But I can't believe they've got only Ian. Like, Ian and Bruce went everywhere. They were the Leyland brothers. And,
that was it.
Yeah, they've only got
Well, Lou Richards used to always call. As soon as Ian or Bruce got it, all they did was kick to the other one and they'd take the ball like Chinese checkers up the ground. I suppose the thing they're worried about is that Toby Nankervis might be able to get the cup as well. Hey, Billy, I always think of these situations. I would have loved maybe for you to be up here and emulate the television personality of the time, the great Happy Hammond, who ran through the banner with the Geelong team onto the ground with a girl dressed up in a cat outfit, what we'd call a onesie these days, I suppose. Back in 1963, he was playing the accordion, Rosemary,
okay,
around the warm-up tables when the blokes were getting the rub down and warming up for the game, playing the accordion, cracking some gags, and actually ran out down the race and through the banner with the Geelong team.
Yeah, that is unbelievable, isn't it? I've asked a couple of boys from that game, how did he get there? What was he doing there? And they all just don't know. They think Bob Davis just said, "Oh, mate, you come in, play a bit of music, you walk around, you can have a bit of fun." And Bobby, the great Bobby Davis, has just said, "Oh, that'll be good. They'll take their minds off the game." And then he runs out third on the ground, if you don't mind, behind the captain and vice captain. It's just. I don't know. I'd love to do that, but I probably couldn't run out onto the ground, to be honest.
Rosie, we've got to put it up. It is one of the most unbelievable things of all time.
You haven't seen Happy Hammond. You need to go back and look at it. It's just
history.
For people who are a bit young, Das, we don't have to be that young. Anyone who's probably hasn't got a pension card.
He had the iconic sort of checkered suit, didn't he? Was that Happy Hammond?
That checkered suit, and he used to wear the boater. And he also had a show called The Tarak Show, which was my favourite show as a kid. And Joffa Boy used to wear the Carlton jumper on there, and Joff Allen, and all these great personalities. And, of course, Bobby Davis. Rosie's looking at it now. Have you seen it?
Yeah, okay. On Twitter, at MMM.
You get the vision of he actually breaks the banner. It's unbelievable. it's just sensational stuff. And Bobby Davis, that's how Sam Newman got his name, because he was doing sort of vaudeville with Sam off the back, I think, of the Dean Martin show. Or it might have been the Honeymooners with Jackie Gleason. But he was right into that sort of fun, wasn't he, Bobby Davis?
Yeah. Oh, he was, mate. And he was actually a funny man himself. And mate, I just can't believe it. When you see it now and you ask a couple of those blokes, they still don't know what he was doing there and what happened to him. But anyway, I don't think he'll be there Saturday night. And we're at the Gabba, of course, Ed. And you know who holds the record there for the most goals, don't we?
Refresh my mind, Billy. It has to be Alistair Lynch, wouldn't it, for most goals?
Well, Jonathan Brown or Feb was up there for a while, all those great goal kickers, but it's still 11 goals.
11.
Back to a few years now, but still there, still the record. And I wish I could walk into the ground and see the kids selling the record, and he'd come up and he'd say, "Hey, mate, do you want a record?" And I'd say, "I've already got it here, buddy. I don't need one of your records."
Let's just pay a little bit of tribute to our great man, Bill Brownless, because we love winding Billy up, but did kick 441 goals for the Cats, 11 goals at the Gabba, which is the record, and all Australian, Bill. And what I love, and are you surprised by, because you genuinely have a love for the Cats, and I'll sit next to Richo on Saturday, and he will be twisting himself into a knot for the Tigers, even though you've been out there and you've kicked so many goals. It's great that it still means so much to you, Big Bill.
Well, it does, mate. It really does. And you do get nervous. And I'll sit in the pub here and there's a couple of Matty Stokes and big Brad Ottens has been coming in of late and a few of the old boys. And you sit around and you get really toey. So, and show your frustration sometimes. And then the umpires, you blame them. So you do become a bit like the great man up in Queensland. You become a nuffy. You do when you watch the game. You go... Your head nearly explodes. you blame the umpires, then one of the players stuffs up, and it's just unbelievable how it gets you there. And it's just not, it's everyone that supports their club and loves their club. You know, you have all these different feelings.
Yeah, Billy, can I just ask you a question, mate? 1963, you mentioned that grand final, and that was the last premiership win for a long, long time. You did everything you possibly could to win one. You got to all those grand finals and some heartbreaking ends there. But tell me, what is the difference for the town of Geelong since they started winning? I mean, it was a rust bucket there for a while economically. People like Frank Costa got in and transformed the whole place. And now it is, Geelong is seen as a byword for success as opposed to failure. And, you know, and I say failure in commas, because the ultimate success of those teams was brilliant getting to those grand finals. But geez, you've got to, it's amazing when you win one, isn't it?
Well, you got to win them, Ed. If you make them, you got to win them, mate. And even back in the 90s when we were there and playing pretty good footy and things like that and making grand finals, but we didn't win them. And then, of course, Pyramid, and that's what you're talking about there. Yeah. Pyramid happened in Geelong, the whole town just sunk to its knees. And then what's happened with those 7, 9, 11, those boys coming through, the town's just lifted, you know. And I know there's some great people behind it. And you spoke of Frank Costa and Brian. Probably the best recruits have been Brian Cook, to be honest.
Brian Cook,
at the Geelong Footy Club. You can talk about Joel Selwood and Danger and these blokes. Brian Cook's been there, 20 years now. He won a couple over in West Coast Eagles, and he's won 3 at Geelong and hopefully 4. But he's been unbelievable. The board... we've got more united. You know, people used to love to be on the Geelong Footy Club board, but they go down the pub and tell everyone what's happening at the club, which is the worst thing that could happen at your club. They become very tight. And, mate, it's just a very good footy club now. And we can see that with some of the players that just want to come to the Cats, you know. But I don't reckon there was too many that wanted to come down to Geelong and play.
All right, that's enough, Bill. We're just starting to wind us up there. Seriously, we've got him on a roll now about the Cats.
You've answered it beautifully, Billy.
Yeah. No, it's a great place to live. We've got hospitals and schools and cafes.
He's hosting the AGM down there. All right, Bill, we're going to let you go. Good luck, grand final day. The great Bill Brownless. You'll hear him on the Rush Hour.
Go to Billy.
This afternoon.
And the run at midday, as per usual.
On grand final day with the great Billy Brownless, one of our absolute greats.